Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I've never been first before, so I wasn't quite sure where I was supposed to be to start up.
In the right place now.
This was a very simple case, a very simple set of facts, but it was a very complicated defendant. And I still think of him often, and I wonder and still believe that I may have failed him as a lawyer, because this is a case that never should have gone to trial. The evidence was pretty overwhelming. We knew what the evidence was going to be, but he never wavered in insisting that he was not guilty and that, in fact, he did not have the gun. I knew what the evidence was going to show. I was quite confident what was going to happen at the end of the jury trial. And what happened was he ended up getting a much longer prison sentence than he would have had he simply admitted to the facts of the case. Early on, in representing Mr. Rowlett, I began to get concerned about his mental capacities. He was always very polite when he came to see me, but he missed appointments often, did not, in my opinion, realize the severity of the matter that we were looking at.
But that doesn't really separate him from a lot of people.
It does.
Understand the difficulty that they're in. You're talking about a serious mental defect that he had that should have mitigated his sentence, and I just don't know that I see a serious
and I understand
mental
that.
Problem here.
I understand that. However, in his examination, and by the way, they lost him for about 6 weeks while he was being examined, and when he got back, I said, "Are you sure you still want me to be your lawyer? Do you trust me?" And he said, "Sure." He was found to be below average intelligence-wise, and there were no numbers except for one. His reading comprehension was in the fifth percentile. Nobody was quite sure what that was, but I'm pretty sure that means 95 out of every 100 people you come across could read better than Mr. Rowlett. The report also categorized him with having an antisocial personality disorder. And, you know, I didn't know what that was, and I Googled it, and it comes up with a link to the Mayo Clinic, and the Mayo Clinic calls this a chronic mental illness. In the sentencing transcript, you'll see I told Judge Lozano I never believed that he was getting it, and that's about the extent of my ability to assess someone. He was found competent to stand trial. I don't think that necessarily means he doesn't have a diminished mental capacity. According to his exam, he did. And then he got the extra points for obstruction of justice. The court found that he lied when he got on the stand. I don't think that he lied. I don't think he could tell whether he was lying or not. I don't think his memory was there. I don't think he realized what he had done because it was clear that he had done it. He needed to be punished. There was no question about that. He needed to go to jail, but he didn't need to get the extra points for obstruction, and he should have gotten a downward departure because of his chronic mental illness. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Posh. Mr. Lanter.
Dean Lanter, representing the government in this matter. May it please the Court. Your Honors, Judge Lozano, at the sentencing, sentenced the defendant after consideration of all the evidence before him to a fair and reasonable sentence of 70 months, which was the middle of the ultimate guideline range. This defendant testified at trial contrary to all of the other evidence in the case. There was a passenger in the car that testified consistent with the police officer, essentially that Mr. Rowlett admitted that the firearm was his when it was pulled out of the vehicle, that he made further admissions on the way to the police station. Passenger also testified that he'd seen Mr. Rowlett with the firearm earlier that day. Mr. Rowlett had brought it into, the driver of the car. Rowlett had brought it into the driver of the car's car earlier that day. Mr. Rowlett testified at trial and quite simply perjured himself on every single matter that he could. He testified at length. He was clear, articulate. He was able to understand everyone's questions. He said he'd never seen the firearm in the car before. He'd never showed the firearm to the other individual in the car earlier that day. He never told the officer the firearm is mine. He said, I'd been drinking that day, and there's things I may not remember, but I would have remembered seeing that firearm before, and I never saw it before. I would have remembered showing it to someone, and I didn't. I would have remembered telling the officer it was mine, and I didn't.
What was the underlying felony that he had been convicted of?
It was a felony battery offense in Lake County, Indiana.
Was there a mental deficiency defense ever raised in that underlying case? Do you know?
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't have any evidence that there was. The only evidence in this case was the forensic report prepared by the Bureau of Prisons, which found that Mr. Rowlett had essentially, I mean, to quote, they said there's no evidence he suffers from a mental illness. On the IQ score that they ran on him, and of course this was a test to determine his competency to go to trial, but his overall IQ test was in the low average range. He only testified in the below average range or the borderline functioning range on one of the subtests in that IQ test. But his overall IQ is in the low average range. He also graduated from high school. And in terms of his maladaptive personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, the forensic report describes his conduct as aggressive, impulsive, characterized by repeated criminal conduct. This is evidence of a person that doesn't get along well with others and gets angry when he doesn't get his way. Judge Lozano, with all the evidence before him at the sentencing, did not err in making findings in response to the defense's argument that the defendant just wasn't getting it. Judge Lozano had said, you know, I think you're not getting it, essentially, but not for the reasons the defense said. He said, it appears every time you said or did something, they were done in such a way that it would benefit you, referring to what the court described as clearly perjurious and intentional conduct. I don't see a history of things you said or did that you know were just general confusion. I think you knew what you were doing. I think you were trying to get away from this charge. I think you admitted the weapon was yours. You told that to your friend, Mr. Miller. And when the officer caught everybody red-handed, you had attempted to see if the charge could just go away by giving him the weapon. So the court made findings based on the evidence before him that, no, Mr. Rowlett wasn't an individual who was too slow to understand the difference between lying and telling the truth. Court even found even my grandchild, my 5-year-old grandchild, knows the difference between lying, which is what he found Mr. Rowlett did in the trial, and telling the truth. And I think a lot of the evidence about Mr. Rowlett's mental capacity came in his testimony in the court, which the court observed, and observed him to be very clearly perjuring himself and attempting to get out of this charge. Again, the forensic report only indicated that he scored in the 5 percentile on one of the subtests for the IQ test. It found he had no mental illness, was able to function in the courtroom, help prepare a defense, assist his attorney. And unlike the Miranda case, which the defendant cited, where the defendant had a severe form of schizoaffective disorder, there was doctor testimony at the sentencing. The defendant had talked about how he heard voices telling him to commit the crime. There was expert testimony at the sentencing saying this person's illness prohibits them or prevents them from being deterred, being incapacitated, all of the other reasons to give a person a particular sentence. None of that was present in this case. So in conclusion, if the court has no other questions, it's the government's position that the sentence be affirmed because Judge Lozano, under all the circumstances, gave the defendant a fair and reasonable sentence in the middle of the guideline range.
Thank you, Mr. Lantner.
Once again, the sole issue we raised on appeal was should his diminished mental capacity have been, or was it properly considered by the court? And I'd submit to you on the record itself that it was not. And that is the essence of the entire appeal. Everything Mr. Lanter said about the facts of the case is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. This is a case that should not have gone to trial. The government finds it evidence of the defendant's guilt. I find it also to be evidence of his diminished mental capacity, and that was not adequately considered by the sentencing court. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.